Hello and welcome to episode 39 of It's Funny Now, Stories You're Glad Didn't Happen to You. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say, it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month, and on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have Jack Pineda with his story, Bowtie Boy.
I'm looking back there, and I look up, and I notice the person sitting directly in front of me, right in your seat right there, sir. I call it the splash zone. Right there is a small, pale, 10-year-old British boy wearing a suit and a bow tie with the most dead, evil eyes you've ever seen in your entire fucking life. And you might be thinking, Jack, no way, bullshit, you're lying. I wish I was lying. I look at him, I don't know what to do. He's just looking, he's like, have you ever seen any horror movie ever? It's that kid. Like, I didn't know what to do.
Jack is a Gen Z comedian who got his start in the UK comedy scene despite being American. These days, you can see him perform all over Los Angeles, including Dynasty Typewriter and The Comedy Store. And now, without further ado, here's Jack with his story.
Hi, everybody. 1996. I don't know how many years that is ago. Thank you, man. This actually feels really nice at the beginning. I'm gonna tell you guys a story. I suppose you already knew that. I'm gonna tell you guys a story. Back in college, I lived in England for about a year. And England and America are actually very similar. People don't realize that. Except the main difference between the two is in England, instead of Americans walking around, it's ugly people. But other than that, fairly similar. I lived there. I actually started doing stand-up comedy there. I wasn't very good, but I got to do a lot of shows, and I had a lot of good experiences there. There's one show, though, that I did back then that sticks with me to this day, and it's because I have nightmares about it, and not for the reasons you might think. I remember the day I booked the show. I got an Instagram DM from somebody, and he wrote salutations. And I remember that specifically because I remember reading that and being like, okay, weary traveler, fucking calm down, dork. But he goes, salutations. I run a show on the outskirts of town. I'd love for you to be on it. It's tonight. I'll pay you £50 and you can just do 15 minutes. And I wrote back and I was like, dude, of course, I'd love to do that. Because like, I had never done 15 minutes of comedy before in my life. I was so new, but I'd always wanted to try it. And I'd never been paid for stand-up comedy. And for those of you guys that don't know, £50 is the equivalent of $20,000. So I was like, yeah, I'm in. So I wrote all this new stuff. I hopped on the bus to go to the outskirts of town that night. And I showed up to the venue. And I walked into the venue, and it turned out it was just like a dive bar. But I walked in, and the dive bar was completely empty. It was like dingy and disgusting, but empty. And suddenly the host, he came around the corner, and he saw me, and he was like, oh my God, hey, thanks so much for being here, man. How you doing? You made it. And he goes to give me a big hug, and we hugged. And we hugged, and as we were hugging, he whispered in my ear, he went, now it's gonna be a beautiful night. Which, looking back, bit of a red flag. Even just a British man hugging me was a red flag. They don't even hug their kids. But she spit her drink out. She spit her drink out. I'm so good at this. But I'm not picking my nose. My nose piercing keeps popping. I'm sorry, everyone. It's icky. He hugs me and he goes. So the show's actually in the back there. We already have like an audience and stuff. You're actually the first comedian that's here, so we think we're just gonna put you up first because we gotta start the show soon. Is that cool? I was like, yeah, it's fine. He goes, okay, great. Do you want to come in and hang out in the room, or would you rather go to the green room? And I was like, Green? What am I, Jay Leno? Yeah, I'd love to go to the green room. So he leads me to the green room, and I get in there. And by the way, green room is a very liberal use of the term, because I walk in, and it's an 8x8 closet with an upside-down bucket to sit on with bloodstains, what I assume are bloodstains on the wall, like dried. And I saw that, and I was like, this must be how Chappelle lives. This is fancy schmancy for old Jackie. And so I'm sitting in there, and I hear the host from the other room. He goes, all right, everybody, show's about to start. If anyone wants to move their chair a little closer to the microphone, now would be the time to do it. And it's silent. And then suddenly I hear a chair scraping slowly across the floor. And I was like, that's odd. And then he goes, all right, everybody, please put your hands together and welcome Jack Panetta. So I run out of the green room and I run into the room and I run on stage and I shake the host's hand. I turn around and I notice that it's an empty room. There's three people in there. Two of them are sitting in the very back. Both of them over the age of 73 years old, which
you'd think is my demographic,
but both of them not seeming too interested in anything I have to say, mainly because they were asleep. And when I say asleep, I mean like head back, like me, 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 like they were like guards in a Prison Break movie. Like it was, and I'm like, okay, great. And I'm looking back there, and I look up, and I notice the person sitting directly in front of me. Right in your seat right there, sir. I call the splash zone. Right there is a small, pale, 10-year-old British boy wearing a suit and a bow tie with the most dead, evil eyes you've ever seen in your entire fucking life. And you might be thinking, Jack, no way, bullshit, you're lying. I wish I was lying. I look at him, I don't know what to do. He's just looking, he's like, have you ever seen any horror movie ever? It's that kid. Like, I didn't know what to do. And normally now I'm experienced enough, I would comment on it, I'd say something, I'd be like, hey, bitch. I'm not good at it yet. But I don't know what to say. So I just start my material and I start talking and I tell my first joke and I get to the punchline and let's put ourselves knives together. If I told a joke, what might you do? You think? Brahms over here didn't laugh. No, instead I told my first joke and I got to the punchline, and instead of laughing or smiling or frowning or blinking, he just went. And I didn't know how to respond to that. I've never had that before, so I just looked at him and I went, thank you. And that went on for 12 more minutes. I told a joke, he politely applauded, and I said thank you. And I didn't comment, I didn't say anything. I didn't know it's because I was like, I'm a paid comedian now, I'm a professional. And call me what you want, you know, charming, handsome, 6'3". But unprofessional is not one of them. So I keep telling my jokes, and I get towards the end of my set. And I'm telling this joke, my final joke, which is about being, considering career options and considering either becoming a baker or a serial killer. And if the joke sounds interesting, that was a larger laugh than I'd ever told that I got than I ever told that joke in my life. It was a terrible joke. And I finish the joke, and I get to the punchline, and I look down at the little fella. And instead of clapping, he just goes, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, listen to me. You guys are like my best friends. Listen to me. I was like, he's not evil. He's a little boy. Like his dad probably owns the pub. Like he's probably would just rather be like sitting at a well wistfully, but instead he's here listening to my comedy. Like, I'm like, and he's the only one listening. I'm like, he's a fucking sweet. What am I talking about? Why did I judge this kid so hard? So I look at him, I go, it's just like, it's okay. You can say what you want to say. And he goes, I was like, oh my God, it's so cute. And I go, no, buddy, it's okay. You can say it. What do you want to say? And he goes, well, I was just thinking you could always bake the bodies into the bread. And I was like, shut the fuck up, Cecil. What the fuck are you talking about? Go back to clapping, you fucking demon. Ew. Ew, why would you say, like, why would you say that? Like, you can see it still flusters me to this day. I didn't know what to do. I just walked off stage. I didn't finish my joke. I didn't finish the set. I left being like, I think this kid wasn't laughing because he knew the day I was gonna die. Like, it was horrifying. I left. I didn't even wait for my money. I just walked out of the venue and never looked back. And you guys might be thinking, you're like, Jack, again, this sounds ridiculous. This can't be true. I wish it wasn't true because then I wouldn't be seeing this kid in my fucking nightmares. If anyone wants to walk back with me to my car tonight, I'd really appreciate it. Anyways, I think that's the end of my story. So thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it.
That's it. That's our episode. I love it when we have stories that are scary, that are funny now, because they're so unique, so terrifying, especially because it's a British boy. If it were an American boy or from any other country, but the fact that it's a British boy makes it even more terrifying and funny now. This is, by the way, our second to last episode on the audio podcast version. Starting on episode 41, you're going to have to go to YouTube to continue following our show. And as always, of course, you can watch the video of this story also on our YouTube channel at It's Funny Now Storytelling. And you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. And on the next episode, we have Justine Hipsky with her story, Beachbody.
He was a dead man. And I knew it. I knew it. And guess what? I was fucking excited. I was like, finally, something good is happening. Call the police, what a treat, you know? I mean, I couldn't believe my luck, right? Like,
thanks for listening, and remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you next time.